Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Results. It's not the other way around. If our process is sound, we're fine with whatever the results are. When you make it just a blanket five innings thing, that's, to me, that's baseball is now such a granular sport. In large degree, I think it's made the sport worse. But these teams are doing things because they want to protect their pitchers, and just having a, you're going five, no ifs, and, or buts, that's the max you're going, that's just, to me, illogical.
Well, it's granular. The reason that the granularity of the sport is making it worse is it's also changed offense, where it's all about home runs, which has caused pitchers to go max effort all the time. There's no more pitching to contact. One other thing. So the numbers, the fine point numbers are 294 average against third time through, 863 OPS. So teams just start hitting them better. That happens for most pitchers, almost no matter how good they are. Here's one other thing that I thought about when I was listening to Jones explain it after the game and Shelton. Did Jones sound to you, because reading the quote is one thing, but hearing it is another, or even seeing it on TV, when you listened or watched Jared Jones talk about it, did he sound to you like a guy who was pissed off and having to cover for it?
Not at all, no.
He sounded like a guy who actually understood completely.
Yes, I agree with that.
And here is what I will say about that. If you told him that prior to the game, that he was going five, basically no matter what, right? And he was on board with that as much as he seemed to be based on his post-game comments, even if he went out, there is a chance that he went out and just said, I'm leaving it all out there for five innings.
I would agree. I would agree with that.
And then you just say, we're not going to switch this up on you, even if you're a hyper-competitive guy. I think that's also factoring in here.
I think it did, and I think you're right. It's them getting together, all these very smart baseball minds, and I don't say that sarcastically. All these pretty smart baseball people, including your GM, who has a World Series ring on his finger, and they say, okay, we're going to do five. That's not how it should be work. That's not how it should work. There should be a pitch number. Or, honestly, don't you think you should go even more in-depth than that? Like, if the pitch number's higher, like it was with Perez against the Tigers, but he wasn't strained and there wasn't a lot of pitches from the stretch and it was up there, but, like, it didn't seem like it was a stressful 100 pitches.
In his case, I would have said the difference with him is not so much like, is it max effort or not? How old is Martin Perez versus
Jones? No. I know. Yes, I know what you're saying. But what I'm trying to say is I don't even think like the pitch number, like game to game, like 85 pitches in one game is not equal to 85 pitches in the next.
You would get so granular then if you're going to do this, you would say, how many sliders did he throw? Off speed pitches that theoretically tax your arm more?
They probably should be doing that. Yeah. And for that reason, I think they should have, it should never be black and white. I think before a game, they should think, if it goes in this direction with a guy that we're trying to protect long term, we don't want him throwing X amount of pitches like this more than Y times. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, we got to get him out after two innings, because if we don't, he's going to get into like a red alert zone.
Okay.
We don't want to do that.
Fine.
So I just don't think it should ever be, all right, five innings. We're all good on that. That's what we're going to tell him. Let's go. I don't think it should be that basic. That makes it sound rudimentary for a sport that is like gone away from everything that's rudimentary, like batting averages mattering and wins by a pitcher and things like that.
Actually, I think the sport's gone more rudimentary. It says we want to get strikeouts, we want to keep the ball out of play, and we want to get home runs and walks. We want to put like the ball in motion as little as possible.
Okay, but the way you achieve those things is not rudimentary because
we're spinning rates, and I get it.
Whatever the hell that machine is that tracks that, the Rapsoda machine or whatever the heck they talk
about.
Yes. Donnie, who do you agree with on this? Me or Ballsy? We got to get his 2 cents on it. He's got a show at 6 o'clock that we're all dying to
hear. He's
going to
be able to give like more than 2 cents on it.
Well, he's got a Penguins obituary to write too. He's got a lot to get off his chest.
How's he going to write something? He's speaking.
Oh, he's got notes. He writes it out. I mean, it's not verbatim. He doesn't go word for word, but Donnie has a lot of things that he writes out before a show. I'm very proud of him for that. You didn't know that?
Well, I'm just more
thinking about how multiple printed... He's got...
Yeah, I used to write things out. I used to do the butcher sheets that were very infamous back in the early days. Well, it doesn't matter because whatever my last point was going to be, I lost my train of thought while we were having this back.
Is it because you're thinking of Joey Bart getting hit in the head with a batting practice home run and being scratched from the game?
I was just trying to dig in there like I like to do and make one more pro argument in favor of what they're doing with Jared Jones.
I don't really care for the innings limit being a thing. Like, because we hear all the time...
So
like,
you're agreeing with me?
Yeah, like the pitch count is normally the thing that we hear about. Because if it's 5 innings by hook or by crook, what if it was 89 pitches or 99 pitches instead of 59? Because it just so happened to work out in their favor. Like, this dude had one of the more efficient games we will see by a Pirates pitcher probably all season. But I would understand if they said, all right, 60 pitches is his max. Because then going into it, which I kind of wish we were more informed as the game was going on, like, hey, this is probably what's going to happen. I think that would have helped ease the pain a little bit.
No, would not have for me. If I knew that was coming, I would have been like, every strikeout, I'd be like, you're kidding me, they're going to take this guy out after 5 innings.
I don't know. So I think
being prepared for it, you would have said he's emptying the tank on 59 pitches or whatever it is, and you would have at least been a little more
prepared.
But
then I go back to what Starkey tweeted. I would have been thinking about when Joe said, if we're going to cut guys off at 59 pitches, can we get Paul Skeens up here then? If that's what we're going to do.
But that's two different things. See, I don't agree with that. I think Joe's is trying to make two different arguments. They have been very clear as an organization that part of it with Skeens is he hasn't pitched on a major league schedule every fifth day. Jared Jones has pitched in the pros on an every fifth day basis for multiple years.
I know that's a good rebuttal.
I thought about tweeting that to him, but I knew he'd have gotten pissed off at me and started yelling
at
me.
That is a good rebuttal.
But I think if we hear a couple of times on the broadcast or maybe we see guys tweet it out, and I apologize if I missed it. I mean, I don't know. But if we see, like, okay, the plan tonight for Jared Jones is to go 5 innings, I think we take that blow a lot more easily than what it was because we saw this dude absolutely mow down a lineup and immediately get taken out.
Whereas people thought he was hurt last night.
Yes, so did I. Brief moment of time, why thought he was hurt?
We knew ahead of time that that was the plan because the Mets broadcast made note of it.
Correct. But wait a minute. Why would we feel better about it if we still believe what you started your take with, which is it should be about the number of pitches and not the innings? I still wouldn't be like, well, wait a minute, 5 innings, that...
Well, yeah, I don't like that to begin with because we're more used to the pitch count thing. Like, okay, he's going to throw 60 pitches tonight, or he's going to throw 75 pitches tonight. So we see that number, and every single broadcast has
that graphic
tracking
it
now.
And start worrying.
You can think, okay, he's probably got 2 more innings in.
What do you both quickly make of, I'm seeing tweets here coming in, innings and pitch limits are already pseudoscience, more granularity isn't better or worse, zero research either way. Or this from Hoagie, I think arm injuries are from a lack of innings pitched versus too many. People citing Nolan Ryan in the mentions last night. That guy never had a major arm injury. I honestly don't believe that pitchers back in the day, by and large, Ryan's an exception, and there's always exceptions to it. Those guys weren't throwing nearly as hard, weren't trying to spin the ball nearly as much. Go back and watch a game from the 80s. There's some fireballers. There's Nolan Ryan and J.R. Richard and guys like that. But there's a lot of dudes doing what we would call today junk balling. And I guess my last point I want to quickly make here is this. I get frustrated when there are people who are like, the Pirates need a lot of things to go their way, etc., who get frustrated that they do this because they are clearly trying to protect the player here. So if Jared Jones were to be getting pitched very heavily early on here and he blows his arm out by the end of this year, everyone's going to say, well, at least we got that good 26 starts out of Jared Jones. I don't feel like people would have that reaction.
I know, but it almost reminds me of like the overprotective parent who's like, I'm not going to let my kid ride the bus, or I'm going to homeschool my kid so he's not exposed to the riffraff or whatever gets said by those ruffian kids. And then like it has unintended consequences where the person turns into like, You know, they're either completely antisocial and incapable, like Tiger Woods, of communicating with people, or it's like Marinovich.
Marinovich's
kid, and like he's not allowed to do any of those things. And the second he's able to fly the coop, he just goes way too far with it.
I think Marinovich's kid had reason to be feeling that way.
But like the listener's feedback here, where do we actually have proof that all these safeguards and guardrails that we put up that have good intentions to protect pitchers, are we even convinced that they actually work? Are any of us sure they work?
That said the following, that the only thing that somebody, a doctor on an MRI came up with that they thought actually might be why a certain pitcher didn't get an arm injury was his UCL, the ligament that snaps, right?
Yep.
Was 3 millimeters wide, okay? Now you say, who cares? The average UCL is 2 millimeters wide. So when it is 33% bigger or whatever, 50% bigger, I guess, technically, if you're going that way, right? Then your average UCL, the doctor looked at it on an MRI for something else and said, honestly, you're probably not going to get hurt this way. Your UCL is literally just
built
different than
everyone else's.
That's
actually a very useful piece of information. I would be looking at those things and getting MRIs on pitchers before I even draft them or sign them.
Just saying, hey, how wide's your UCL?
Yes.
But that was, I'm serious, that's what it came down to. My basic point that I hope I'm making here is, I am sympathetic to the team at least attempting to try and figure out a way to lessen the load on a guy who throws this hard. I think that the next
think there's a better way to do it.
I think the next three starts out, he's probably going to be allowed to throw 90 to 100 pitches, and then you might get another game like this. And you know what the problem is? You know what the real problem is? They were up 1-0 when he left the game. If they were up 5-0, they probably win the game, and everyone just says, well, unconventional, but they won the game. But because they can't hit their way out of a paper bag right now, we have to get pissed off about this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Time for our weekly check-in with our Steelers insider over at 93.7thefan.com. He's working on another draft simulation right now, 10,000 draft simulations. He stole Neil Huntington's simulator, and now he's using it to do Steelers drafts, and that is Jeff Hathorn, brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Say goodbye to gutter cleaning forever with Gutter Helmet by Lednor Home Solutions. Yes, Malzi?
You know what sound the draft simulator makes when you fire it up and hit simulate, right? Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
The bad thing is I have Amarius Mims in the first round of most of these,
mm-hmm.
Which is good, but he's only going to play 59 snaps a game. Mm-hmm. So if it gets over that, he's got to leave the game.
Don't start this because I'll argue with you both, and I'll go – fists will be flying in here. I'll happily
stirring
argue you both.
Jeff Cabali on the air today was asked – I'm not sure if it was by Paul or Joe. I think they were both distracted by the baseball game.
That's really off-brand for both of those guys.
They asked Cabali what his most likely Steelers first-round draft scenario is. And his answer surprised me. He said taking an offensive tackle, but doing the same thing as last year and trading up to get the one that they want.
So maybe trading up and getting Latham or trading up...
Fuaga?
Fuaga would there.
But so you think they could do that, right? I mean,
I think we're all still feeling out the new GM, a relatively new GM.
But if you were a betting man, what do you think is the likeliest scenario?
Down.
Trade down. Wait, more than just stand pat at their pick. You think they're more likely to...
No.
Of all the options,
if they're
going to
make a trade, I think it's going
to
be down.
Okay, but the most likely scenario is to do what? Keep the pick at 20 and take what?
And take a tackle. I was at center at one point, but I just think... Here's the thing with the tackle, too, is that fifth-year control. It's like an I know you're going to pay more, but it's like an extra year where you don't have to pay full price for what is becoming an exorbitantly expensive
tackles
position.
Are more expensive than centers.
They're more expensive than everything probably other
Con
than like
would care about
guys,
something like that.
Elite wide receivers. Yeah, he should care. He should care deeply about positional value and how expensive a guy gets in the fifth year. Do you think that they like Mims more than everyone else? Because Pony and I talk about it being like the worst kept secret since everyone knew they were going to pick Najee. Do you think that they're getting connected to Mims because they actually like him more?
Where'd he go to college?
I know.
He's a dog.
I know. Or because they have run 10,000 simulations and they know he'll be there, i.e. like if J.C. Latham fell to them, suddenly the plans change. They just don't think he'll fall to them.
No, I think they – listen, there's no secret recently, and I'm not saying that they just draft based on school, but there's a feeling about players from there, mm-hmm. and I think that helps him. And I think Guyton is really intriguing just because
Oklahoma
of how much
tackle.
He's played on the right side. Like he's played a bunch over there. I think his freshman year, he was a center.
And he came in here for a visit.
So he's like the reverse. Guyton's like the reverse Graham Barton then.
Yes.
How about that name being attached to the Steelers and picking up steam? He was just here yesterday.
Here's the thing I will tell you that I think all of us, I think it was Mark last year, we were having this conversation about how this time of year.
Kabali?
Yeah. How so many teams
push things.
Will use media people to push stuff out, and agents are going to push stuff out. Like, what was it, a week ago there was a report that Jackson Powers Johnson can't snap?
Yeah, I asked people about that. Like,
he was the Remington winner.
Jeff Schwartz, and he got very upset about that. Pony, do you think that anybody has ever used you to push out something?
I was just
going
to say to Jeff, maybe I got used today because I had a conversation this morning with someone who said that they believe, they being the Steelers, they could take Zach Frazier. And he could be their day one center starter.
And they meant take him at 20.
No. It was strongly implied to me that they would have to move up to get him, and they would be very willing to.
Wait, have to move up in the first round to get him?
No, like in the second 51. Round. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it seems like every simulation I've done, Frazier is anywhere between 29 and like 38.
Or they can, and this was.
Bears want to make a deal?
This was not ruled out either, but you can also go from 20 to 27 or 28, trade down like you said, and then take Zach Frazier there with your first round pick. And you've got an extra pick that you maybe take a tackle in the second round with, Jeff.
I mean, I've heard definitely that they love Frazier, like to the point where I think all things being equal, he would be their choice, preferred choice of the three big centers. I've heard that much.
And I remember hearing at the beginning with Frazier.
Wait like, a minute, you think they like Frazier more than Barton?
Like, the idea of taking Frazier, but he's not the first pick that they make, is their preferred thing. Tackle and then Frazier
yes.
is by far, like, their preferred outcome for
this
draft.
I think you're right
draft.
About that.
Yeah, and I think there's a toughness with Frazier that they're falling in love
oh,
with.
Oh, the wrestler, tough
that
guy,
no, seriously,
grew up near here.
I remember the first time I heard that I saw a report on Frazier is like, well, the system that he plays in really doesn't translate. And, like, you see all that kind of stuff, and you're really going to see it.
Donnie, I don't want to steal your thunder for the show tonight, but have you undergone the same transformation where you're backing off Jackson Powers Johnson and starting to think Frazier is the better move?
I wouldn't say backing off of one guy for another one completely, but I'm more open to the idea. Yeah. Like, I think ideally, my ideal draft scenario – trade back, maybe that move with the Bills
the 28.
That is gaining some steam, and take either JPJ or Frazier right there.
Well, that was in our latest PFF mock, Donnie. It was a brilliant piece of business.
And then what did you end up? And then what do you end up doing with tackle? You're just running back Dan Moore and Broderick.
Either taking your chances on something in the second or third round, or yeah, you might have to run it back. But oof. I mean, if you can.
It's such a good tackle draft, especially right tackles.
Man. Well, I mean, think about the scenario if – now, I know there's so many where it would be tough for all of those guys to be gone. But say, like, they have, I don't know, a group of, like, four or five that they like a whole lot, and there's a couple that they have question marks about, and they like the centers more than those guys. Like, say that group of four. Like, say Mims gets taken by the Bengals or something at 18,
mm-hmm.
and they're thinking, okay, that's the guy we wanted – we don't love – maybe they don't love Guyton. Maybe they don't love – I don't know if there's any other guys that are
– maybe they don't think Fautanu can play right tackle.
Yeah, and they think, okay, the Bills are willing to give us some pretty good capital here because they clearly want a receiver. They're not going to take an offensive lineman. And let's just take whoever the best center is left at 28. Because I think I feel pretty good about one of those two guys being there.
Have you guys done simulations in the second round where Braden Fisk is available? PFF loves Braden Fisk
in the
second round.
The Florida State defensive
I haven't
tackle.
Seen him there in the second round on PFF, and I try to set it all as neutral as I can to get like the same results.
Jeff, I want you to
one intriguing visit, if I may, just for a second.
Yeah.
Today, Junior Colson.
Linebacker from Michigan.
To where if they made a trade to where they had another pick late second or early third, I mean,
they did meet with those two inside linebackers, the one from NC State and now this guy who are like third round
Well, that's
inside
where you should be trying to identify that position. I thought
but you just got Queen, so I don't understand why they need to do that now.
Unless you want two run and chase kind of guys out there. Well, I mean, that's like modern NFL, but not so much for their division. I thought the kid from Penn State, the center who's more of like an early day three probably pick, is interesting if they just try to float that position for 1 year, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend, but I see a lot of people saying he could be like a mid-round steal in this draft.
If they don't go offensive tackle in the first round, I think Gonsalves is in play in the fourth or fifth.
Interesting.
Jeff, one more thing. Aditi was on with us, and I don't want to put words in her mouth, so Pony, if I steer off course here by accident, get me back on the track here. But she said to us, like Pony said, can you empty the old reporter's notebook for us with any kind of interesting nugget? And one of the things she did say was, and she specified not really Penix or Nix or that kind of guy, second-round quarterback. She does not think they are done at quarterback, though. And the implication was, like, somewhere in those mid to late rounds, they're going to be looking for a potential, like, lottery ticket type of guy, not just a Tanner Morgan camp arm or something, but somebody who actually has a trait or two that are NFL starter quality.
Well, it makes sense because you're not going to pick up the option for Fields, which means you have no quarterbacks under contract after this year. None. After this.
Yeah, because Kyle Allen's on a one-year deal, too. Jeff, I'm just going to ask you for percentages on a few things, okay? Yeah. Percentage they take Brian Thomas from LSU with the 20th pick?
Five.
Percentage they trade for Brandon Ayuk in the next 2 weeks?
Five.
Percentage chance they trade for Courtland Sutton in the next 2 weeks?
15.
Ooh. Percentage they sign Tyler Boyd between now and training camp?
Between now and training camp?
Yep.
I'd say 20.
Jeff's sticking with his Boyd thing. I like it.
Percentage
it
chance they trade.
So much that he wants to play here, they just can't work out.
Do you want me to play my big hit and see what he percentages that at?
Go ahead.
Percentage chance they just do a straight-up Highsmith for McLaurin deal.
Negative 10%.
Well, I love McLaurin.
We had Mike Florio say he thinks maybe Justin Jefferson in a blockbuster to Washington. And
really?
I'm just saying, if that were to happen, you might have an expendable Scary Terry around.
That would be insane.
If that came true and the old Mulsey hypothetical came true, you wouldn't be able to deal with me for a week.
No,
ego would enter the room 10 minutes before me.
No, I would be your best friend in that situation. I'd be praising you for that clairvoyance. All right, Jeff, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
90 minutes away from deja vu, Penguins deja vu, another game 82. With nothing on the line. And, hey, back in the day, that was awesome, right? Because they had already clinched a playoff spot, and they told Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang and whoever else, hey, take a night off. Go sit up in the press box and eat popcorn. And if we're in Montreal for our Game 82, even better, because you can eat those hot dogs with the toasted buttered buns that Mulsey always tells us about with the French name.
Chen should.
Yes.
I've never had one.
Me
Paul
neither.
Steigerwald used to tell me and Starkey about them all the time, said guys routinely to this day just order boxes of them down to visiting dressing rooms.
So now it's the reverse of that. We have game 82, and there are no stakes because they've been eliminated from the playoffs again. Good person to hear on this, Sidney Crosby. I don't know if this is the first we're getting these comments just coming in from pregame in Long Island. The captain's thoughts, one of the greatest hockey players of all time. For me, the third best player in the history of the sport. Dealing with the misery and disappointment of not being in the playoffs again. And here is his first thought on missing out on the best postseason in sports.
You know, when you leave it up to other teams, you rely on other results, anything can happen. And obviously we didn't get help. So, you know, it's disappointing. when you're talking about 1 or 2 points, I mean, there's a lot of different games you look at or instances. So it's hard to turn, you know, 1 or 2 points and magnify that into, you know, what the reason is necessarily. But there's probably different things. I think the obvious one is just multiple games where we had leads and, you know, we ended up not even getting points in some of those.
So he's talking like a fan there, because that's all fans have been doing for the last 48 hours or so, ever since they didn't get help from, worst case scenario, you root for the Flyers and they don't even help you. But that's what people have been doing, like going through the games, the moments where the Penguins effed themselves, shot themselves in the foot, started shooting pinky toes and big
toes
off.
What's your favorite one? Because I have a clear favorite. And by favorite, I mean one that makes me like want to do a spit take. I'm so mad. October 30.
Against Anaheim.
5-on-3 power play for almost the entirety of the final 2 minutes. To lose in regulation there still defies belief. Also, the own goal against Arizona, where Arizona promptly went on a 14-game
losing
streak.
That's what I'm going to say. That would be mine.
That's incredible.
They're freaking moving to Salt Lake City. They're playing in front of 2,500 fans a night. It's a poverty franchise. Mm. The Coyotes.
How old are you, 21?
What?
Poverty franchise.
They are.
I'm aware of that, but like you and I are too old to say that.
Poverty franchise?
Yes, I feel like that's for the 25 and under crowd to use that terminology. Donnie, you're in your late 20s. Are we too old?
So you want me to sound like an old fogey on the air? You think that's not part of Pompeiani's vernacular? Of course it is.
You lost to that poverty franchise. We'll talk about that. And
I didn't think that actually had an age limit to it.
Thank you.
All right. Then the problem lies with me. I apologize. Those are just two that stick out. The one against Anaheim you know why the one against Anaheim, just quickly, I know you could say this about the Arizona game because it's on a power play, or a delayed power play or delayed penalty call. But like your power play has been the source of frustration the whole year. And it was just Erik Karlsson making a bad pass that gets picked right in the point in time in a 5-on-3 where it's about to be a 5-on-4, where you should be a little cautious and kind of resettle things. And it springs a guy on the winning breakaway. Just insane to me.
Sid asked, are there silver linings to the way things ended, the hot play down the stretch, even in a season in which the Penguins missed the playoffs?
I mean, I think you just have to look at the season as a whole. I mean, we didn't make it. There are definitely some positives to draw from as far as how we finished. And, you know, I thought that the whole group showed a lot of character. I think that every single guy, you know, stepped up and had a part in us still being in it. So I think there's something to take from that. But at the same time, I mean, we'll look at a lot of different games and plays and probably want a lot of those back. But I think, you know, if you look at the season as a whole, obviously, I think we feel like we're capable of being a playoff team. And, you know, there were some games there that we let slip.
All right. So he, as a captain would and someone of his stature, he put it in the proper context. Yeah, like, we played very well the last dozen games, but that doesn't make up for what happened before that, and it's not even a quarter of the season. You got to look at all 82. And the complete picture here is that we were a failure again. We were a disappointment. And not his fault, by the way, although he is part of that power play, but that's really the only thing I can get on him for. I thought he turned in another great,
it was a brilliant,
great season.
Brilliant season by him. I mean, he had one little lull, I would say, and it unfortunately and predictably
coincided with their
with
struggles.
Their going through a lull. But how much can you continually ask for a guy at his age to do, who every time you've asked in the past has answered the bell time and time again? You know what? We opened the show talking about how like few changes we actually expect because of some of the contract hell that they're in. When he says all that, right, and you say puts it in the proper context, he is one of the forces driving the lack of change. He has the blood oath, whatever you want to call it, with the rest of the core. I hope he, as a loud and significant voice, I don't care if he wants to, like, he says, I don't like to play GM or not. I hope he goes to them in the offseason and says, we do need to do some things, maybe get younger, whatever it might be. I hope he's got suggestions. I hope he didn't just take part in the season and say, well, get him again next year, because that's unacceptable for me.
I don't think that he's going to volunteer that information, and I don't think they're really going to seek him out for it. I think
they should.
I think they just want to make sure he's going to be here, Chris. And that's keep Malkin, Letang, and Sullivan around, and do that so they can get the extension from him. Like, you know what? The one thing if what we hear about Sidney Crosby is true, the one thing that I don't nitpick a little bit. I just don't understand why he's so in love with Sullivan. I don't get that. I get it.
He won two cups. Conn Smythes.
Okay, great. Great. He won a Stanley Cup with Dan Bylsma. They fired him. Then they were not in a good spot when that guy got hired, so he bailed them out too. I mean, I just don't.
Is it as simple as he just sees hockey the same way Sullivan sees it? It has to be.
Well, maybe that's a bad thing. It is a bad thing, actually. I would not want, like, I think you have to have a checks and balances within your organization. Get some new ideas and some ones that aren't exactly the same as yours. All right. Sid was asked, and this is a good question, especially because they still have a game to play. He was asked, what makes Sidney Crosby think that the Penguins can win another Stanley Cup?
Once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. And I feel like we were trending the right way. We're one of the hottest teams in the league, you know, late, and don't have much to show for it right now. So hopefully that's something we can build off of. And I mean, there's lots of teams who want to win the Stanley Cup. That's a tough one. I mean, that's what I play for, and I think that's what we all, you know, believe. If you get in, anything can happen. We felt like we were playing good at the right time, but there's a lot to go through. But I'm not going to start predicting or projecting, but. I believe that we're capable.
I think that there is something that you can read into with that answer.
Which is,
so I believe that too, that the last teams in make the playoffs and can win. The last teams into the playoffs can compete for and potentially even win the Stanley Cup. The Kings won the Stanley Cup as an 8 seed. But I don't think it's good that they have that mindset, because that almost gives you an excuse or like, a reason, especially when you're an older team that has to pace yourself. All right, if we fritter away these games in October and November. Yeah.
Well, Brooks Orpik used to say that when on good Penguins teams that were making the playoffs, we don't go 100% every game. But when you're as good as those teams were back like more like 10 or 11 years ago, you can get away with it.
If your goal is to just make sure you get in and do enough to get in,
You're automatically almost dooming yourself to being in some peril of even getting in.
Yep.
Because you're just not young enough and not good enough.
That's how I hear that answer.
The Avalanche or teams like that can get away with that, frankly. The Penguins anymore
cannot. And they used
to,
like you said.
Well, yeah, but they can't because all of your core guys are almost my age.
That's another good question to ask him. How it feels for him to have played the entire season in back-to-back years, no major injuries, no concussion issues anymore, knock on wood, no sports hernias, nothing. Just clean bill of health for Sid, and to still miss the playoffs. Here's his take on that.
Anytime you can stay healthy and play the full season, that's great. I mean, there's some, I think, one or two years where I played 81 and I sat out the last one because we were in the playoffs, so I take that. I take that position too, but I played 82 last year.
Yep.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I played 82 2 years and hasn't worked out. Especially as you get older, I think you appreciate it's more of a grind and just trying to balance everything. I think, I'm happy about that for sure.
I think he's happy, but I also think he's like it's weighing on him. Like, I gave this team everything I could possibly give them, and I never took a night off. And we're still at home watching the freaking Capitals first round of the playoffs. I would not be able to watch that series if I'm him.
Do you think he can look Malkin and Letang, if he loves the core so much, in the eye and realize that in especially Malkin's case, they didn't do enough heavy lifting to help him?
I bet he feels that way more. If he's being honest, I bet he feels that way. I bet he feels that way more about Malkin than he does Letang.
Well, he should, because Malkin was worse, but he likes those guys so much. Do you think that he can see that clearly and be able to like have that cold conversation, at least with himself, if not with those guys, saying, I need more from you. You both need to be better. I held up my end of the bargain because I don't think they have that kind of relationship. I think it's too close. They've had too much success.
I think he's a lead by example guy. I don't think he's a tough, awkward conversation guy, Chris.
Well, I also just think like he thinks too highly of both of them
exactly.
To even have that. He always would be more likely to rationalize away why Malkin might have just had a tough year.
I heard a deep state Penguins conspiracy theory take on Malkin today. You want to hear it?
The Penguins deep state. How could I resist?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that he's actually going to retire at the end of the season, and that he kicked it into high gear
to try to get one more playoff.
And that's
run.
Why his parents, well, they come at the end Sobbing. Of the year, try to, but that's why they were so emotional at the end of things. Yeah,
Is this a deep state theory that you put a lot of credence in?
Not really.
But you just like having a deep state theory out there.
I just think it's – I like that – do I like? Yeah, I do. It's with sports, I do. I like that there's somebody out there that's like
– doing these things?
Doing psychoanalysis on what the deeper meaning is to his parents getting emotional.
Okay. Counterpoint to the deep state.
I don't think one is necessary, but please, go ahead.
Way too proud of a guy to have played pretty well coming down the stretch and having, you know, he took over games down the stretch.
Yeah.
To have seen that, hey, that's still in there for me, and then to say, I'm leaving more meat on the bone also, and more money.
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing. Also, like, he made it like a bone of contention that they wanted to give him a very, very short-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to fight to get more years into this deal, and so I agree with you. I agree with, I think, most rational, logical thinkers on this. But there's always the conspiracy theorists out there, Malzi. And sometimes I believe in the conspiracy theories. Like Tortorella doing that last night to screw the Penguins. I do believe in that.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.